Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In case you missed the breaking news at the top of the show, Google has been ordered to share some of its data and search results with rival companies, but it need not break up. That according to a federal judge's ruling earlier this afternoon. This is an absolutely landmark antitrust case. Watch this space about how this exactly moves forward at this time. It is huge. Also in the news this afternoon, Democratic leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, has attacked Donald Trump's unlawful pocket rescission package and pointed Americans to look out for the September 30th government funding deadline. I wonder if Democrats, led by Senator Chuck Schumer, will hold the line this time around. Remember, they capitulated earlier this year when the last shutdown deadline loomed. In addition, we've got more than 85 American and international scientists that have condemned a Trump administration report that calls the threat of climate change overblown, saying the analysis is simply riddled with errors, misrepresentations, and cherry-picked data to fit a political agenda. This, of course, coming amid growing calls for DHHS Secretary RFK Jr. to resign. Now, what was very fascinating about what happened today related to some of this anti-science approach to things that we seem to be seeing from the Trump administration was that back in 2020, of course, Donald Trump took the stage and heralded the new COVID vaccine at that time. He called it a monumental national achievement, even called it one of the greatest miracles in the history of modern day medicine, of any age of medicine. But today, Donald Trump appeared to raise doubts about the effectiveness of those very vaccines on his social media platform. And he demanded that companies like Pfizer make information and results available to the public. Because I know I'm really good at analyzing medical testing data, given that I have no background in medicine or biology or Okay, you get my point. It's really unclear what exact information he's talking about. And in light of all of this, we thought it was extremely important to be joined by an expert guest to help us unpack good immunization practices, good vaccine practices, given that we've all got kiddos that are headed back to school and we are all entering the cold and flu and, yes, COVID season. With that as prequel, I am so excited to be joined by Ryan Bender. He is the Director of Clinical Services for Forward Pharmacy. He works on their standard of care for immunization, comprehensive medication review, and health screening, as well as medication therapy management. You can find Forward Pharmacy in Cottage Grove, Cambridge, Columbus, Deerfield, and McFarland. So it is a community-based and locally focused pharmacy company. Welcome to the show, Ryan. I really appreciate you making time to help us all be prepared for this fall and winter season.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the basics. We understand that there has been a change in the COVID-19 vaccine eligibility. Can you explain to people what that means, what the eligibility rules are, and what they might want to be asking their doctors as we head into this fall season?
I can try. As you alluded to earlier, we are in a state of flux. Things feel somewhat upside down. Now, traditionally, vaccines are approved by the Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, and then they're sent to the ACIP, ACIP, American Council on Immunization Practices, for recommendations. And then it's those recommendations are then sent to the CDC director to approve them. And so there really is a multi-stage process with different independent groups looking at the vaccines. So you have one group looking at to approve it for its use, and another group looking at just how that's going to be used, which groups can get it. ACIP has not met to discuss COVID vaccines. In fact, they have a meeting scheduled for September, September 18th and 19th, though Senator Bill Cassidy has now called for that meeting to be postponed. So we don't know when the vaccines will officially be approved and recommended for use. Many people turned to their community pharmacy since the pandemic began with the COVID vaccines to get not just COVID shots, but flu shots and now other routine immunizations, including childhood immunizations. And people are looking to the pharmacist this year for these same recommendations. And what's tricky for pharmacists as our authority to provide a vaccine outside of a clinic sphere is based on that vaccine showing up on the list of CDC approved vaccines, or they call it the vaccine schedule. There's the adult vaccine schedule and the pediatric vaccine schedule, and that has not happened yet. So even though I may have a COVID vaccine at my pharmacy today, I will not be able to administer it just yet until the ACIP meets. And the thing about ACIP is the makeup has changed.
Yes. I talked about this last week on the program, Ryan, that basically RFK Jr. has replaced much of, if not all, I can't recall just off the top of my head sitting here with you and all of our listeners right now. He basically has replaced the membership of the ACIP and replaced it with folks who, according to some scientists and immunologists, think are basically a bit on the conspiracy theory end of the spectrum. I'm all for trust but verify. I'm all for good data and good science. And the tricky part here, Ryan, is we're talking about this on-label versus off-label use. And that's what the ACIP decides. Now, whereas a physician, a medical doctor, can prescribe something to a patient as an off-label use. So even if the COVID-19 vaccine is not listed by the ACIP for broad use, your physician could ostensibly override that. However, that is not true for pharmacists. They cannot go outside of those parameters. And a pharmacist, therefore, depending on what the ACIP eventually does here, will not be able to prescribe and administer COVID-19 boosters that don't meet those newly established indicators from the ACIP. I want to pause because that is the clear, you can get, your doctor can say you can get it, but you can't walk into your Walgreens, CVS, or of course, your Forward Pharmacy and have a pharmacist give you the COVID-19 vaccine if you are not one of the off-label intended recipients. Have I gotten that right? Because that is such a critical distinction.
So yes, when it sounds like the direction, and this is, I hate to speculate, but it seems like the direction that we're heading, the ACIP will likely, it sounds like, do what the FDA approval is, which is 65 and older is a blanket recommendation. Everyone over the age of 65 or 65 and older should get it. And those adults who are under the age of 65 can get it if they meet certain criteria. And those criteria are actually pretty broad, including one that just says physical inactivity. So there is that. However, though on one list, pregnancy is listed as a high-risk condition. On another list, it's specifically excluded from being an approval. So many professional organizations have stepped in with their recommendations. And it's important to note that professional organizations such as the American Academy of Pediatrics have for years made their own recommendations. What's different this year is they are not aligned with the CDC and the FDA. There is a departure between the two, and that is a first. There were 17 members of ACIP So we're at various places in their terms. They were considered experts in their field. Wisconsin has fielded a few in recent years. And they were all fired all at once and replaced with 8 handpicked people who appear to have maybe letters and credentials behind their names, but many people point to a history of vaccine skepticism there. So we are in a period of flux, waiting to hear on COVID. Some things have not changed. Flu vaccine recommendations remain the same. About 44 42 DeBerrys in the year. People choose to get a flu shot every year, yet flu killed over 200 kids last year. So it's very important to get a flu shot. Those recommendations have not changed.
I think Ryan froze up a little bit. We're working and hoping that he comes back on. He's talking about this changeover in ACIP and specifically the restocking of this critical board that determines, again, the vaccine schedules. Keep in mind that we now have vaccine skeptics that dominate this critical board. And this is happening here in Wisconsin, where we have a measles outbreak in Oconto County that, according to news reports this afternoon, we have 24 cases of measles now confirmed in Oconto County. So, Ryan, as you rejoined us, thank you so much. I think he's back. Let's check here. Ryan, can you explain to us some of the public health implications as the CDC is altering the COVID-19 vaccine guidelines and the vaccine and immunization schedules for both adults and kids in addition? I think we quite have him back.
I'm
so we're going to work
to do
that.
Sorry.
No, there you are. Oh, there he's there.
Oh,
and there,
my gosh.
There you are. Why don't you do this, Ryan? Just shut off your camera. I'm going to put the phone number for the show and give us a call. Yep, and call us in. We'll have Ryan rejoin on the other side. These are the sorts of things that make me so concerned, especially with all of our kids going back to school. Measles, we thought we had eradicated it. And now here in our own beloved state, we're seeing a resurgence. And this is putting your kids' lives, your family's health at grave risk. Ryan's rejoining us. We've got about a minute left, Ryan. Can you just talk broadly about the public health implications for this stepping back from basic vaccine and immunization schedules and scientific best practices?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very dangerous. With measles is one of the most contagious things we know of, really. And it is so contagious that people who were born before a certain year, 1957, don't actually need the vaccine because they were just considered to have it. There are just very few people that could have not had it. And so, again, this is a disease that killed people. And I think by minimizing that, weakening the sign or by weakening the public message behind it, it opens us up to diseases which not only can be harmful but also fatal.
Yeah, it is quite a challenging moment, I think, for all folks that work in public health, but also for folks that work in the field of my special guest for this half hour. He is Ryan Bender, the Director of Clinical Services for Forward Pharmacy. He is also a member of the Dane County Immunization Board, its vice chair. So Ryan's business is public health and knowing what the immunization and vaccination schedules are for adults and kids. We're going to review those schedules and how you might approach flu and cold vaccines and the COVID vaccine this coming fall and winter season, what questions you might want to ask your pharmacist and doctor when we return. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.